This is less than 1 month. Given a lot of mystical hatred, must weigh it with much sensitivity. Because we're dealing with life and death issues. Having this in mind, we're most fortunate to have the chus of having with us today one of the Gedolei HaPoskim, Hagaon HaRav Mordechai Goldbaum Shliter, who is Bavus for his Koyach HaPsak. And to teach us the proper halacha and hashkafah on such a sensitive and delicate issue, it is a great chus and privilege to call upon a Gaon HaRav Mordechai Goldbaum Shliter.
We take out of the time in a day where we are confronted with so many different opportunities and challenges with how to spend one's free time in a day that one is off from work. Throughout the years, I have the opportunity to speak in many different shuls. For me, in Chicago, it's not a Ponim Chadoshes, although it has been a little while. And I've had the opportunity, the schus, to be invited by the Mordatzer Shlita in the past. And it is clear from this mokim that he has dedicated himself, Lazakis, the Sarabin, was Rabbi Muskat, and so on. And it's to his credit to be able to raise the level of Balabatim, to appreciate serious learning. I can only leave him with the bracha that you're also in should be zeichet to be ma'avis teir, to be mamshich with his avidus ha'kodesh, v'hagul teir al-adira, and all those that are iskim b'tzorche ha'tzibur, and of course those who have come to learn themselves, no less, yimalei Hashem, kol mishal oslivoim v'toivom, v'simcha v'nacha, shev v'brocha v'atzlocha. The emesis, which is true in all areas of halacha, technology and advanced technology, and of course the strides that have made regarding medical ethics and so on, always bring with it new problems and new innovations. And the question always is, how does halacha view these particular advances, whether in the area of technology or in the areas of medicine? The emphasis when we talk about live organ donations, although somewhat today it might be somewhat a little bit different, as I'll point out, the basic nekuda that fundamentally has been discussed in the tshuvas of the great Achrayim, when these inyonim of organ transplants become more and more popular, with the Shiloh, which is a fundamental question. The fundamental question was whether, and we'll see more about it from the various different Maramikoimis and interpretation of those Maramikoimis, in terms of how far is my Chiyuv of Hatzolah, to what extent am I obligated to put myself out in order to save another person. We're talking about where the other person is in a matzav of avada iskona. This is the given. If I don't do anything, this other person's avada iskona, which means that probably he will not make it. He will not be able to live. However, there's an opportunity that I can donate an organ, I can give him an organ, and as a result, save that person's life. However, possibly many times by donating an organ, it means that I may be putting myself at risk. I'm endangering my own life. Which in the Lush of the Poskim, basically, as they, when they mention it, the terminology is, am I mechuyev to put myself in a sofik sakona, to save someone else from a vadai sukkah. Is someone's vadai more important than my sukkah? And that is basically the shiloh. And then there are other areas which branch out even further, but I think we should begin with this point. If you take a look at the handout that you have, we start with actually a Gemara Bo Metziah, Daf Samad Beis. It's quite a familiar Gemara. The Gemara itself needs interpretation in its own right. We're only going to focus now on one Nekudah and later come back to another Nekudah. Basically, the Gemara tells us the following story, if you can take a look. What tells us the Maisa, Shnaim Shoyim Alchim Baderich. Two people walking on the road, Ubiyadevot Men Kitin Shomayim. And the story is that one person has a Kitin Shomayim, he has, let's say, he has a pitcher of water, one person has water. Im Shoyim Shneim Mason. If both drink, there's not enough water for both. So if both drink, clearly the situation will be that both will die. However, if one drinks, one of them has a pitcher of water. If he drinks the water that he has, there's only enough for one. Magiel Yishu, it'll hold him until he reaches civilization, make his way out of the midbar. So what do you do? So the Gemara tells us that we have a machlokes. The first shita is an incredible shita, which needs to be explained, which we're going to leave it, but let's take a look. Dora ben Peturin, but Peturin darshins and he says, Mutav sheyishtu shneyem v'yomusu v'alyira echel men v'misotze shol chaveru. Then Peturin clearly says that it is better, he says, that both drink, even though both are going to die, v'alyira echel, one should not take all the water for himself and see how the other one dies. Then Peturin, this is incredible shita. What are we accomplishing by having both drink and both die? But let's leave it for now. The Gemara continues on, and the Gemara says that Shabbat Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva came. The Limei Rabbi Akiva taught us, and he said, it says, V'chai yochicha imach, chayecha koim and l'chai chavircha. So therefore, chayecha means your life comes before anybody else's life. And therefore, if the question is, whether I have a chief to share my water with somebody else, and it means that no one will survive, he says, no. If there's only enough for one, my life comes first. So I drink all the water, and I will survive, Bezus Hashem. And let the chips fall where they may. Chayecha koim. So Rabbi Akiva, in other words, is telling us very clearly that if it's a case where it's clear cut, it's either my life or his, here we have an indication from the Gemara Chayecha koim. It's your life that's first. However, Rabbi Sai, what is not so clear from this Gemara, what do we do in a situation where it is not clearly my life or his? But rather, it's a question. It means that I am putting myself into a suffix sakona. Now, definitely, it's a sakona for the other person. But my life is not necessarily at stake with vadai. It's only putting myself at risk, which this would apply. This is what the Poskim, when organ transplantation started regarding the kidney, physically speaking, physiologically speaking, a person is able to survive technically on one kidney. You have here another person who is experiencing kidney failure, and he will not be able to survive very long. I can donate a kidney. I can give up one of my kidneys. However, in doing so, if it is assumed that I am putting myself in a sophic sakona, and years ago, this is the way it was understood by the Poskim, that although one can, is capable of living with one kidney, but the matzav is to be evaluated as putting oneself in a sophic sakona. But this example can extend to other examples as well. And the question was, therefore, am I mechuyev to do that? Am I mechuyev to give up one kidney in order that the other person who has nothing should be able to live? Because the matzav, it's very possible I can survive on one, and even though I may be putting myself at risk, but maybe I have a chiyev, I'm obligated to put myself in a sophic sakon in order to save someone else from a vadai sakon. So therefore, when we're facing this type of a shaila, so the question is, what do we do over here? What does halacha say regarding this situation, and what is the obligation of a person? So the truth is interesting, if you have here on the sheet, and we find out, regarding the shaila, if I am a mechuyev to endanger my life in order to possibly save another yid, that's clear. That's clear that I am not mechuyev. Again, I am not mechuyev to give up my life in order to save somebody else's life. That I don't have to do. But the question is, but am I mechuyev to endanger my life in order to save someone else's life? And that is basically the fundamental question. So the truth is, this goes back to Shaila, quite back into history, of course not regarding organ transplants. But as we find here, as you take a look at the Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef here, this is in the end of Chosh Mishpat, Simen Tov Chov Vov, Simen Tov Chov Vov, as we're going to see. And just before we get to the Beis Yosef, we'll see the Lashon of the Tour also that you have. Let me just point out that this Beis Yosef is really a historical Beis Yosef. The reason it's a historical Beis Yosef is because this is the very last Beis Yosef in all of Tur Shulchan Aruch, the very last Beis Yosef. So we take a look here, we have the Lashon of the Tour. If someone sees how someone is drowning in a river, or if you list him boy in oil, or you see that he's being attacked by robbers, bandits, chai wa hatiloi, there's a chiyuv to be matzal the other person, ben begupoi, ben bememoinoi. When he's mechuyev to do whatever he can in order to save that person, to save that person's life. And as we'll soon see, Demis, it's a Gemara Mufresh, it's a Sanhedrin. Come to Beis Yosef, and all we need is here, actually, in the middle of the Beis Yosef, if you take a look, where he says, V'kozvu ha'goyis maimonis. Beis Yosef says here, V'kozvu ha'goyis maimonis, regarding that if the person is not matzal someone, we know that he is oivam le'samad adam reyecho, allowing someone to die. Says the Beis Yosef from the Hagoyis Maimonides, the Rishalmi Matzi, the Rishalmi concludes, Afilu lahachnis atzmoi besotik sakon achai. The Beis Yosef clearly brings out, B'shem Yerushalmi, that we see in Yerushalmi that even to put oneself in a sotik, now sotik is gone and one is chai. So using the example, for example, that the Tur brings, which is again a Gemara, you see someone is drowning in a river. If no one saves him, that person definitely will drown. You know how to swim, but let's say it's a particular situation where you're not the most, you're not a lifeguard. You're not an expert swimmer. And maybe the water is a little bit somewhat rough. There's a chashash possibly that you are endangering your life in order to save the other person. Am I mechuyev to do that? Am I mechuyev to jump in, put myself at risk, in order to save the other person from a definite succumbent? So as we see here from the Beis Yosef, who brings down from the Goy to my minute, that Afilu lahachnis atzmoi, he says, Besopik sakon is chai. And the Beis Yosef says out by himself, he comments, Venira, Beis Yosef is Moses, and he says, Venira shetam, Mipnei shahalo vadai, because the victim, he's a vadai, he's in a definite succumbent. The who sopik? And the other person, the potential rescuer is a sofik. So Melech of the Beis Yosef says, B'shem Nagoyis Maimonides, and this is the opinion of the Nagoyis Maimonides, as the Beis Yosef brings it down, that a person is mechuyev to put himself at risk, because it's not a definite, it's a risk. Maybe yes, maybe no. For the other person, it's a definite. Mechuyev to put yourself at risk in order to save someone from a vadai sakona. What's interesting to point out, you know the Beis Yosef says, the Yerushalmi Matzah. He brings down from the Goyis Maimonides that this is the Yerushalmi. Let's take a look as we have here on the sheet. We have here the Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi is in Perishet of Hilchos Trumas. In Trumas. Set of Trumas. Say the Yerushalmi is false. I don't know if you have it there. I gave him other stuff. Okay. It's not important. It's two lines of Yerushalmi. The Rishonim says as follows. I have. So the Rishonim says, Ravami Istan. Rishonim tells us that Ravami was taken hostage. Ravami was taken hostage, and unless he was going to be saved, unless he was going to be freed, Ravami is going to die. This is the Matthias here. Okay, Rishonim sets up this is the case. Ravami was taken hostage, unless that he is saved, he will not live. So there are two Amoroyim in Yerushalmi here who basically who reacted to the situation. Two Amoroyim. The first one says Om Rav Yonison. Very interesting lotion. Om Rav Yonison says Rav Yonison. Yichrech hameis disedinoi. Rav Yonison says there is no eitzah. Start preparing the tachrichet. There's nothing we can do. The Beisdin says we throw up our hands. Rav Ami Nevich was taken hostage. So what are we supposed to do? We can't save him. We can't save him. As a result, Yichle Hamet B'Sedinoi let the mess, he said, be covered with sheets. That is the lotion that Rav Yonison says. Omar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish. Comes Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Rav Shimon Ben Lakish says, no. The Anot Kotil, Anot Miskatu. Which means either we're both going to die, he said, or both going to be freed and go out alive. In other words, when there goes mine in the peace of this Yerushalmi, Rish Lachi says that there is a possibility that we can save him. In other words, if we go out to save him and free him, it means we are putting ourselves in a sofik sakona. But if we don't do anything, Rav Ami is definitely going to die. So as a result, Rish Lachi says we have no right to sit back. That's why Rish Lachi says the following lotion. Rish Lachi says, "Anot katil, anot miskatu." Either he says both of us are going to walk out alive, or both of us, he says, will end up not alive. We have to try to do whatever we can. Even though it means there's a possibility, we may also not make it. We may not make it, but we may. It's a subject. I am endangering my life to save Rav Ami, who's in a definite matzav of a sakon. So from this Yerushalmi, Pinchas Masechtas Trumos, is where that goes mine as he gleans the halacha, that one is mechuyev to put himself into a sofik sakona in order to save one from a vaday sakona. However, it's a very interesting thing. Comes the Sma on Chayshu Mishpat, and he says it's a funny thing that the Bishoyta that we just quoted here, the Bishoyta on the Pirish on the tour, brings down the great Maimonides that one is mechuyev to put himself in a sofik sakona to save some from a vaday sakona, and yet in Shulchan Aruch, when the Bishoyta writes to Shulchan Aruch, did not bring the halacha altogether. When the Bishoyta codified in Siman Tov Chavod, when he codified the halachas, he did not bring it. And the question is, why not? Bishoyta on the tour, he brings it. He mentioned the Goyis Maimonides. There was Mechuy to put himself in a Sofik Sakonah to save one from a Vaday Sakonah. Yet it is not recorded in Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Sama, and the Sama says, you know what the reason is? You know why the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch did not bring down this halacha? That one is Mechuy to put himself in a Sofik Sakonah, writes the Sma, you know why? Because the major Paiskim, the Amudei HaHoroi, and that is the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Tur, they did not bring it in their Pesachim. So if the Amudei HaHoroi, the greatest Paiskim from whom we live, by whom we go, if they, the greatest authorities, if they don't bring it down in any of their Pesachim, so maybe that's why the Mechaber was Mashmid, it doesn't bring it either. So the Sma says again, there's a reason that the Bishoyta did not bring in the halacha, although he mentioned it, as we said in the Bishoyta he mentioned it. The halacha Lamaite did not mention it, because the greatest Paiskim didn't bring it in that socket. The Rambam doesn't bring it, the Rosh doesn't bring it, the Rif doesn't bring it, and the Tur doesn't bring it. So in other words, it means that they don't bring this Yerushalmi. If they don't bring this Yerushalmi, it means clearly we don't pass them again. The only question Rabbi Yitzhak is, we can act the kasha on them, on the Rif and the Rambam. If it is the Yerushalmi, why don't they bring it? You know, Rabbi Tzai, the only time that we don't follow Yerushalmi is if we have a Bavli somewhere that's choilik on the Yerushalmi. We don't categorically reject the Yerushalmi just because it's Yerushalmi. What's the Yerushalmi? If it's Yerushalmi, it must have this turmoil. So why not? You don't these great Rishonim Paiskim, they do not bring down this halacha. They do not codify this halacha. That one's mechuy to put himself in a sofik sakona to save one from a vaday sakona. So that's really the question. So the chokhmah over here is, Rabbi Yisai, to try to find a place in Bavli which lechayra would show that the Bavli argued on the Yerushalmi. And that the Bavli is of the opinion that one is not mechuy to put himself in a sofik sakona to save one from a vaday sakona. One is not mechui, one is not obligated to endanger his life. That is now the task at hand. Where do you find such a bavli? If we find that these Rishonim rejected Yerushalmi, it must be because they felt that bavli doesn't agree with it. However, it is not mentioned where that bavli is. So that now becomes the situation to try to find the bavli where one can glean and come to the conclusion that the Bavli argued on the Yerushalmi, that one is not mechuyev to put himself in a sofik sakona. And therefore, if we find that Bavli, we will know that that's the reason why the Rambam and the Rosh and the Rit and the Tur did not paskin like the Rishali, because they found a seer in our Gemara. They found a seer from our Gemara in the Bavli. So therefore the question is, where is that Bavli? So if you take a look in the Pishka Tshuva, in Siman Tov Chavos, the Kotn Hei, so he brings from a Sefer Agudas Eizoi. He brings from a Sefer Agudas Eizoi, who says that the Bavli holds Fakir. And where is that Bavli? The Agudah Adezoi suggests the Bavli is in the Gemara Mesechtes Nida. That you have. Mesechtes Nida Daf Samachal. There's a fascinating little piece of Gemara here with a little maisa and a situation and episode in Mesechtes Nida Daf Samachal. This is something that is treated very seriously by the Poskim, because there's sort of a mouthful is being here mentioned here in these few lines of Gemara, literally. And they want to tell us, start out with an interesting story. Let me just tell you, the Gemara makes a stickle hagdomah. Gemara hagdomah is, the Gemara says there, that Omer Rabbonon. Rabbonon said that Hai Lishne Bishe. The Gemara tells us, regarding Lashon Hara, Apo Gavda Lekibule Eloi Meboye, even though it is also to believe Lashon Hara, Mikomoko Mechish Meboye. In other words, you can't believe Lashon Hara as a definite. But a person is allowed to be chayshish that it might be true, and therefore you think twice before you act. Lashon Hara is not just an issue of shemiyat Lashon Hara. Assuming that you happen to hear it already. Okay, you heard it. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to believe it. Not allowed to be mekabel Lashon Hara. Not allowed to be mekabel Lashon Hara. However, the Gemara tells us, you cannot accept the Lashon Hara as a definite, but if it's negayah to you, of how to act in the future regarding this information. This information is crucial information. You can't believe it as a definite, but you're allowed to take it as a chashash, and therefore protect yourself. Even though you're not confirming it, believe, but you're permitted to be chashash. And this is the source for the Mishnah Berurah. In fact, Chofetz Chaim, in Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, and the Chofetz Chaim, we bring down this halacha, that one's permitted to be chashash if someone happens to hear Lashon Hara. He's allowed to be chashash, although one is not allowed to be mekabelist. And that means quite simply is, assuming Rabbi, that let's say somebody tells you, let's say somebody tells you that Reuben is a gamish. So what are you supposed to do? So to say, oh, it's Lashon Hara, he says, I don't believe it. No, the next day Reuben shows up in the place of business and says he's looking for a job and he wants to work behind the counter. And he says he's very good with numbers, he wants to work behind the register. So he's supposed to say, I don't believe Lashon Hara. No, you don't have to hire him because you're allowed to be chayshish. Shmuel was, that he's a gamet. I'm not allowed to accept it as a definite, but I'm allowed to accept it because chashash, and you don't have to hire it. So maybe, extra is a gamet. Maybe not. But opponent, I'm allowed to accept it because chashash. That's basically what the Gemara is saying. That Lashon Hara, even though one is not allowed to accept it as a definite, believe it, confirm it, but one is allowed to be chashash for it. Okay. Having said that, the Gemara tells us the following story. The Gemara says that Hanut B'nai Galila. There was this group of people, it was the B'nai Galila, the Gemara tells us. The Nopik Alayu Kolo. There was a rumor concerning these people. The Kotel Nafsho. There was a rumor regarding these people that the fact that they committed murder. So these people, the B'nai Galila, were rumor had it that they actually killed someone. So they were wanted. They were wanted for murder. The government was after them. This is the Maisa. The government was after them. So what did they do? So the Gemara says that also lekame drav tarfen. So they come before a tarfen. Omrulay, so they say to him, litmarinen mar, please hide us. We want to find refuge. We want to find refuge. Save us. Please hide us. So what's Rav Tarfon Rabbeisai, what is Rav Tarfon supposed to do? Here we have people who are potential murderers. There's a rumor about them that they have killed. The government is after them. By the way, if the government is after them, it means that they will be tried for murder. Very possibly, if the verdict is that they're guilty, so they're going to lose their lives. They, Lamaisa, are trying to save themselves, so they're going to Rav Tarfon, and they're asking Rav Tarfon, they're pleading with Rav Tarfon, please hide us. What is Rav Tarfon supposed to do? Says the Gemara, Omar Lahu. Says Rav Tarfon to them, he says, Hey Chinabi. Says, what am I supposed to do? And basically Rav Tarfon says, I'm a monopshek. Eloi at merichu, he says, Chodur yisaychu. If I don't hide you, then the government's going to find you, they'll see you, they'll catch you, and they're going to kill you. That's if I don't hide you. On the other hand, says Rav Tarfon, at merichu, he says, if I do hide you, ho'omru rabbonon, but rabbonon have said, hai lish nebishim, will be quoted before, but regarding rumors of Lashon Hara, avogam de lekibule le meboye, however, the message me boy. On the other hand, says Rav Tarfon, should I hide you, perhaps the rumor is correct. And the Melee says, possibly, he says, that in fact, that you are murderers. It's very possible that in fact you are righteous. And therefore, Tarfon says, on the side that you are murderers, I can't hide you. Now, on this issue, there are different opinions in the Rishonim. Why? What does that mean? You know, if you are murderers, I can't hide you. This is what Rav Tarfon is saying. What did Rav Tarfon mean? What did Rav Tarfon mean when he said that if the rumor is correct, therefore I can't hide you? In other words, why can't he hide them if they are murderers? So, Tosfos brings down, in the middle of the Tosfos, Tosfos brings down the shame, the shiltus of Rav Achoi. Tosfos brings down, who says, because Shema Haragatem, because Rav Tarfon says, in the event that in fact that you did commit murder, Shema Haragatem, he says, the Im'at Min Etchem. In other words, if you get caught while you're in my basement, then I hide you, right? So Chayatim Reishil Melech, I'm going to lose my head. In other words, the government is going to hold him accountable. You're harboring murderers. So according to a Tosfos brings down the Shem Rav Achoi, Rav Tarfon's timing like this. The reason I can't hide you is, and to save you, and to save your lives, is because if I get caught, then my life is in danger. Rav Tarfon is saying, in effect, is I am putting my life in danger, I am risking my life to save your lives. So since the Chachamim said, in other words, that the Meir Shmi Boy, because although this is a rumor, and it's a rumor of Lashon Hara, right? But the Meir Shmi Boy, in other words, I at least have to take it into account. Not as a definite, but as a possible. As a possible event, as a possible truth. And therefore, at least we treat it as a suffix. So if I go, he says, I'm going to go and hide you. And if you get caught, he says, I'm going to get killed, says Rav Tarfon. I'm going to get killed. Says Agudah Seidoi. He says, what do you see from this Gemara? He said, what you see from this Gemara, that Rav Tarfon was not willing to hide them. Right? Well, not willing to hide these people that were potential criminals. Why? Because maybe they're talking guilty, and therefore a Tarfon himself would be killed. Taina is a good say, he says, L'chayre Mamonavshech, he says. Mamonavshech. If you're going to tell me that a person is mechuyev to put himself in a sofik sakona in order to save someone from a badai sakona, so L'chayre, this situation of a Tarfon, the case of a Tarfon, that if he gets caught by hiding these criminals, the Crusader Tainis was only a topic stuck on it for a time. Why? Number one, who says the father is going to get caught in his basement? Who says? Maybe they're quite successful in hiding them. Second of all, even if they are found in his basement, he may have a good excuse. He's supposed to know that these are murderers. He's supposed to know. I don't know. May have a pretext, may have a number of excuses. It's not a definite that Rotarfon's life would be in danger, even if Rotarfon would be caught harboring these criminals. So at most, Tainis, they're good to say that Tarfon was putting himself, at most, at best, into a sofik sakon. So in Meila, Mamonashek. What was the Tarfon word about? If they are innocent, right? If they are innocent, and it turns out that they are innocent, so of course, then Tarfon is safe. Then Tarfon has nothing to worry about. Elamai, what was the chishash of Tarfon? On the tzad, that it might be, in fact, that they are guilty, they are taki guilty, and therefore, Tarfon would be held accountable. But on the top that they are guilty, and they are chayv misa, that their lives is in danger, on the top that they are guilty, and they are chayv misa, then Rav Tarfon should have a chiv to put himself in a sofik sakona. If the din is that you are mechuyev to put yourself in a sofik sakona, to save them from a badai sakona, the Tarfon's concern was only on the top that they are guilty, that they are chayv misa. On the top that they are not guilty, he was not worried about. So on the top that they are guilty, and they are chayv misa, their lives are definitely not sakona. Ratzon by saving them, by hiding them, and trying to hide them, would be putting himself only in the Sofik Sakonim. Why should he not be quick to do that? He's saying, because maybe, Ratzon's saying, according to Tosis, because in case I get caught, says I may be killed. So you're risking your life. True. Ratzon, let's say, would be risking his life. But he's risking his life to save those that are in a Vadai Sakonim. So if it would be a Chiyah, do the Chiyah to put yourself in the Sofik Sakonim to save others from a Vadai Sakonim, then Ratzon should have done it. Is the Mashma from here, says the Agudas Eidoi, that a person type is not Makuyi, that a person is not Makuyi to put himself in a Sofik Sakona to save others from a Vadai Sakona. However, Rabbi Isai, the trouble with this Raya is because it depends how you learn this piece of Gemara. Because the same place that brings down first Rashi's Pshat, if you take a look. This is only a Raya if you learn, like the way Taisus, Bishem, the Shiltas of Rabbi Akoyi. The Tavim's concern was, the Tavim says, in other words, because if you are caught, right, if you are caught, and you're guilty, Chayatim Roi Shilom Elah. The Tavim was worried about his own life, right, worried about his own head. So then you see that a person is not Mechuyev to put himself in a Sofik Sakona to save others from a Vadai Sakona. However, Lamaise is, there's another pshat. When a Tavim said, I can't hide you, when a Tavim says that I can't hide you if you are murderers, so the other pshat is, why? The pshat that Rashi says, in fact, the Shemeh Haraktem, because maybe you killed, in other words, the Prophet is saying, I can't hide you. The Shemeh Haraktem, because maybe you killed. The Osir Lahatalechem. In other words, someone who is Chayev Misa to the government, you're not allowed to save him. It's like Dina Demachut Adina. That's the reason. It's not because the Prophet was concerned about himself. Because Loilom, one is Mechuyev. If that's all it is, that's all it's about. One can argue that one is Mechuyev to put himself in a Sofik Sakona to save others from a Vadai Sakona. The reason Tavim says I can't hide you is not because he was worried about his own self. It's simply because if you're Chayev, then you have to stand trial to the government. Then you have to, you're murderers. If you're Chayev, so the government is halachic, or how the government treats, and therefore sometimes I can't mix into that. Rashi's washing again. Rashi's washing is the Shema Haraktem, but also Lahatalevshem. Because maybe, in fact, because on the top, you're hiding because you committed murder, or you possibly committed murder, the government is chayshish yet. If you did, he says, I can't hide you. He says, I can't hide you, because possibly you committed murder, he says. Lord of the left hand. As a matter of fact, if you take a look, we have the Sefer Chassidim. I don't know if you have it on the sheet here, but I'll just quote it to you. The Sefer Chassidim here, bring first a pause to give me short. Sefer Chassidim here, in top range, Pei Gimel. And Sefer Chassidim says the following, listen to this washing. Im reitseach boireach, he says, elecho. If a Ritzeach runs, if a Ritzeach, he ran away, he broke jail. Ritzeach is Barech Alecha, he's running to you. Out the Kabbalah, says the Sefer Chassidim. Don't accept him. Be Yehudi Ben Ochri, even if it's a Yid. Kemasa the Tartan Ben Yidin. You see the Sefer Chassidim on the Pshat, like the Shit of Rashi. But the problem is, because if someone's a Ritzeach, you can't hide a Ritzeach. The government takes care of him. He's mechuyev to the government. There's laws of the land. And by the way, the Chuvan Chavis Yor, like that, he says, that if someone like committed murder, could be a Yid. Doesn't make a difference, he says. He's chayev. You leave the government to take care of him, he says. You don't mix into the situation. And this is basically what the Sefer Chassidim is saying. We're saying, Berech Alecha, Tekablai, Ben Yehudi, Ben Ochi, Kemaisa, Ben Tafim, Ben Yid. In other words, if you are Roitzchim, a Yid, we don't hide Roitzchim. We don't protect Roitzchim. So Meloi Bazoi has nothing to do, therefore, with the issue. When Tav said, I can't hide you, not because Tav is worried about his own safety. Because then we're getting into the Shiloh. Then we're getting into the Shiloh where the one is Mechuyev to put himself into a Sofik Sakona. But it's a totally different issue. The whole different issue. The issue was because you're right to him, I cannot. The only thing is, if this is the case, they're not Vadai Roitzchim. So Tav here is not saving, right? He's not saving those only as there was a rumor above the, on them that they have killed. And the Tav still is refusing to save them. So of the problems that we have here, so this is one nekudah to depart reviewing this maaser of Reb Tarfon, that from Reb Tarfon, this is not a situation necessarily because one is not mechuyev to put himself in a sofik sakona, but Reb Tarfon was concerned very simply, as Rashi said, because if you are murderers, I can't save murderers. Not allowed to save murderers. You don't protect murderers. Shema harakhtem, but also lahatulakhtem. But there's also another nekudah. There's also another nekudah. Why don't bring a raya to the case of organ transplantation from this Gemara? And that is, as the Tzeleza suggests, Nishal Tshuvah Tzitzel Ezer, so we test on them, hey, also brought down by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in a Kleidus Hamayim many years ago, that when he wrote an essay, and then he put it like this: in the case of Rav Tarfon, as opposed to the situation where someone needs a kidney, he did not bring it upon himself. He never needs a kidney. The person is sick. Of course, you can make a situation. Maybe he did the wrong things. He wasn't watching out for his health. He didn't eat the right foods, or maybe he was smoking and all that. The person lived his life the way people live their lives. Now he needs a kidney. So now he needs a kidney. So he didn't bring the situation upon himself. And therefore, there might be a chiyuv for someone else to put himself in a sofik sakana to save someone from a badai sakana. These people, though, murdered on the side that they murdered, they put themselves in sakana. They did a ma'aser tzichah. So is Rav Tarfon mechuyev to put himself in a sofik sakana to save those in a badai sakana that they themselves, regarding their pesheya, they put themselves into that ma'aser? Time to sit till the edge of the chlal. Don't use the Gemara to write. Because then in the situation of donating a kidney or an organ, one can say you are mechuyev to put yourself in a sofik sakana. Because the person who never is in a badai sakana is due to no fault of his own. Not because of any pshir. Since the master never been in such a situation, he needs that organ. But in the case of Rav Tarfon, these fugitives, these people who are in the badai sakana, is because of their own doing. So that someone else is supposed to now go out and put himself in a sofik sakana to save those who put themselves with be a dime into that matter? Who says it's such a chiyuv? Maybe Taki, that's the chiluk. That might be a distinction. And that we find such a chiluk in other areas as well, that the tshuvis haribosh. Rivosh says, everybody knows there's a fundamental cloud. Oinse rachmona patra. If someone is an oinus, then the Torah passes him. One is not chai for doing something behind us. Says Rivosh, but what about a situation where a person put himself into an oinus? You were going in a situation, and therefore the end tackle was an oinus, but you went in this place, you went to a market where you shouldn't have gone there, even though the end result was that an accident happened, but you shouldn't have gone to look at Hila. You put yourself to be a dime into a situation that ended up in a massive of an oinus. The sheet of the Rivosh is you do not say the Kai Gavni, you do not say Unser Rachmana Patru. You don't use the Patur of oinus, because you put yourself in that massive. Oinus is where you attack our oinus around and around, all circumstances. But if you put yourself in a massive that ends up in an oinus, but you put yourself to that massive, even though the end result is an oinus, you don't get credit for being an oinus. This is the sheet of the Rivosh. A component. What Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Tainis and the Tzitzel Yezer Tainis, in the case of Rav Tarfon, even if we're saying that Rav Tarfon was concerned with the other chat, the chat of Tosis, Bishem the Shiltis, that Rav Tarfon was concerned about risking his own life, didn't want to risk his own life to save them, it's not because a Sofik Sakona does not sacrifice for a Vadai Sakona. But there simply is because the Vadai Sakona is a Pesheya. He put himself directly into that matzah. So Melach upon him. So this raya, as we said, is not from this Gemara. Is not a raya that one does not put himself into a sofik sakana to save a vadai sakana. Because the Chitokan very much that when you have a vadai sakana, which is due to no fault of his own, he's never going to master a vadai sakana. Finds himself in a vadai sakana. Possibly there is a chiyuv to put oneself in a sofik sakana. Therefore, comes the Agudas Eizah of Rabbi Isai. And the Gudas Eizah of Lamaisa continues, he says, I have another Babli, he says, from where he says you can deduce this principle, that you don't endanger yourself in order to save another person. And where is that Raya from? He says, that Raya from is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Let's take a look, this you have. Gemara in Sanhedrin, the fine Gimel. And the Gemara says, Gufa, Minayim L'Royet Chaveiroi Shutadei Benolo. How do you know if you see someone who is drowning in a river? Or if Chaye Goyroi Shutadei, or another if he's been attacked by an animal who's dragging him, or Listin Boinolo, he's attacked by bandits, his life is in danger. Shuchai Lahatiloi, Tamadoi Me Loisam Edo Tamayeko. Like this, the fundamental halacha of Loisam Edo Tamayeko, there's a chiv of Hatzol, there's a chiv to be mazal someone's life, there's a chiv to save someone's life, there's a law of the right. Reading more Akashe, Rahom, Hochenapke, Northernapke. Is this really the source? The source of Hatzolah, is it really from this Pasuk, Lesamad Al Dam Reyevo? After all, we learn it out from a different source. Right, it tells us, Avedat Gufoy Minayin, we all know there's a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. Now, always when you talk about Hashavas Aveda, it's returning someone's monetary possessions. Monetary possessions, Hashavas Aveda. What about returning one's health, returning one's life? What about Hashavas Gufoy? Is there any greater Hashavas Aveda than returning one's life? Says the Braise, Avedat Gufoy Minayin, that there is a chiv of Avedat Gufoy to be measured. Tam Loimer says the Blaise, the Pasuk says, Bahashivoisoi Loi. Bahashivoisoi means give him back his body, give him back his life. So you see from that Gemara, from the Blaise, that Bahashivoisoi Loi, that's the source that you have a chief to save someone. So how is it that we're using Loisamro Tam Loyevo? So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that Ima Hosom, that if we would have had only the Pasuk, Avedas Gufoi, Haramine Hanamila Bidinashe, the pasuk which says "Vashevoyis Eloi," that there's a chiyuv to be made of someone's guf, means "Bedenafshe" means I myself. Now, if I see somebody drowning, it's not a chiyuv to save it. Avol mitzvah umegir agura eloi. But does that mean if I can't do it, do I have to make a phone call? Do I have to hire people? Do I have to go out of my way to see to it, to see that the end result is that person said maybe not? In other words, if I can't do it myself, maybe I don't have a chiyuv. The chiyuv is you can't stand by. The chiv is, you see something happening, you can do it, so you have to do it. But the chiv that to be the moment, you have to hire someone, you have to be matriach myself. I would think not. Then we have to have the other pasuk as well. Then we have to have the other pasuk as well to teach us that even to be matriach or to hire someone, there's also a chiv of Hashavas Gufoy. The Zaman of Adam Reyachot. How does Akuda say it like this? That if you're going to tell me that the suffix is not sure, that even where I'm putting myself at risk, I also have a chiv to be matzul. He says, why doesn't the Gemara say Kamashim alone? But the Gemara wants to give it teretz. Why we need two psukim? Why does the Gemara say quite simply? They finish the extra pasuk with Samo Dam Reyecho. Above and beyond, Hashem Voice Eloi comes to tell us, so Samo Dam Reyecho means even if I'm endangering my life. In other words, I would have had only one pasuk, Hashem Voice Eloi. Maybe it means if it's not expense, not my own risk. I have a chiyuv taka to save one. After the taka Hashem is gufa, I have to return his guf. However, if I'm endangering myself, I would not know. So maybe this extra pasuk with Samuel Damariyako says that with a Seder, come to be Maisit. Come to be Maisit, I can teach you that I feel a bit sophic, Sakona, even when I'm endangering my life, I'm putting my life at risk, I also have a chiyuv. And the Gemara doesn't say that in the Teretz. So Tanya is a good Seder. It means, you know why? Because it's not going to have to. Because the Gemara understood, says a good Seder. The same way that we say Chayyab HaKoyim. Right? We just went by with the Kiva. When Savada is Kona, then it's clear I don't have to give my life to save someone else. When Savada is Kona, for me, that's clear. Chayeko Koyman. So just like Chayeko Koyman, the Vada, Chayeko Koyman is a topic also. My topic is better than your Vada. My life, even though it's only a topic, but it's mine. My life, even the topic, is more than your Vada. And I don't have a Kiva. That's why the Gemara didn't say, said the Buddha says that. That's why the Gemara didn't use that terrace. So if I would be Mashima again, from this Gemara, that when it's not Mekhoi to put oneself into a suffix to call it, so this is the Bavli that we're looking for, L'chayr. This is the Bavli that we're looking for, that when it's not Mekhoi to put oneself in a suffix to call it, the same one from Mazadai to call it. Akkaf, this is the Agudah Zayzer. So Agudah Zayzer of Lamai says he takes gleans from this Gemara, and he suggests again that this is the Bavli, that's why the Bishayzer of Lamai again didn't bring it in Shulchan Aruch, because he saw the Gedolei Poskim didn't bring it, and the reason that the Smart Akkai said the Gedolei Poskim didn't bring it, because obviously they rejected the Yerushalmi that we had before, because we had to find the Bavli. Where is the Bavli? We tried the Gemara needed. Possibly it's the Gemara themselves that's in heaven. The good sense of suggestion. However, there's a Dover Nifl over here. And this comes now to the two. Going back again to the original Gemara, which Venice, it's an enigmatic Gemara. It's a Gemara which is, it's an incredible Gemara, the Gemara that we started out. It's kamat impossible of the Pshutoi to understand the Shita Ben Peturit, which is something that raises the eyebrows of many, many of the Gedolim Mepharshim. Chazanish has a lot, Rav Shachim, Seif Avi Yezri has different perushim and so on, Gedolim Mepharshim, who have basically given various interpretations in the Shita Ben Peturit. Let's go back again to the first item that we have in the Gemara, and we see how the Nitziv reads that Gemara, how the Nitziv understands that Gemara. The Nitziv is on his parish on the Shiltis, and Seif Rehemek Shilas, and Mekuf Mem Zayin. And it brings a beautiful raya. The Nitziv brings a beautiful raya regarding our Shaila. And it brings a raya back from Bavli that we're looking for. That's the Bavli that we're looking for. That a person is not Mekuyev to put himself in the Sofik Sakona, the same one from the Bavli Sakona. It's not Mekuyev. We had again the Gemara in Bava Metzia started out Shnayim Shevim Alef in Baderech. Two people again were walking on the road. They're in the Midbar somewhere. Will be Yadechad Man Kitchen Shomayim. And one of them had a pitcher of water. Im Shaitim Shnei Amesim. They both drink, they're going to die. Im Shaita Echad Mehem Magil Yishu. If one drinks, they'll be able to make it to safety. The Gemara tells us that Dorash Ben Petura Ben Petura Darshan. Mutar Yishai Sheyishtu Shnei Amesim Yomusu. Better that both drink and they die. Bal Yira Echad Bemitzis Chaveroi. Of course, Achibor Bekiva and Hidarshan. No. You don't share your water and both die. The Chayo Chicho Imach. Says in its city, says, the Shita Ben Petura, he says, it's an incredible. It's Mechusar Havonim. Yeah, it sounds very noble. You know, I'm going to share my water with you and have both die? What's the point of that? What's the tachlis of that? What do we gain by that? What kind of spar is this? Both should die Bal Yira Echad Bemitzis Chaveroi. Why should both die? I have water. One person can live. What kind of a story is that I should share my water with you and then both should die? It's very nice. I want to share with my water. I want to share it. I want it all for myself. Isn't this a mavadat mavadat possibly? Committing suicide. That's what you're asking him to do. You're telling him, don't drink the water, share it, and have both die? What kind of a story is this, Ben Petura? So the tziv time is as follows. And he says, I believe that the pshat in the Gemara with Ben Petura telling us is the following. That this is not what Ben Petura means, kipshutoi. That if both are going to die, there's no chesn, he says. There's no chesn that both should drink. But Vadai says, one should drink, Ben Petura would also agree. That one should drink, he says, at least one should live. Ben Petura would agree to that also. Elamai, what is the time of Ben Petura? Ben Petura time is as follows. Ben Petura time is that both should drink, and as a result, if both drink, it means that at least both will be able to live another day or two. In other words, if they drink, they don't have enough to make it out of here. But one thing for sure, it's going to extend their life. Time is going to see, if both are going to drink, if you're going to give water to the other person, and the other person's also going to drink, so it's possible that you can extend life for a day or two. Extending one's life in a day or two, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe they're going to hit in the air. Maybe they're going to hit an oasis. Maybe a helicopter will come and drop some water. In other words, you're changing a vadai sakona, he says, into a sofik sakona. If you are giving some of your water, you're sharing some of it with the other person, you allow them to live an extra day or two. In a day or two, who knows what might happen? The situation, circumstances might be different. So therefore, enochanami take you yourself, if you don't drink it. You're putting yourself in a sofik sakona, you had all the water, you couldn't save yourself. But lamaisa, what you're doing is you're saving the other person from a vadai sakona, because you're not going to give any water to the other person. Then definitely he's going to die. That's for sure. The other person is in a vadai sakona. But however, now, the pshat is not that definitely both are going to die. By sharing your water, you're putting yourself tighter than the tziv. Ben Petura says you're putting yourself into a sofik sakona. And the shita Ben Petura is that you should put yourself in a sofik sakona in order to be mocked from the other person from a vadai sakona. Now, Ashimur Bekiva, if you learn that way, let's go further. Come to Bekiva, Bekiva says, if he's there, chayecha koin. Meaning Bekiva argues on that included. Which means that even a Sofik Sakona, your Sofik is better than his Badai. Don't do it! Which means that the conclusion of the Zohar of Yerubi Kiva, don't put yourself in a Sofik Sakona to save someone from a Badai Sakona. Chayach HaKoyim. In other words, of the Zohar, we see again from this Gemara, this is the Mahalach, this is the way we're learning Pshat in this Gemara. So the conclusion, therefore, because we're passing through Yerubi Kiva, if that's the Pshat in the Gemara, this was the issue here. The Kiva argues on that conclusion and says, no! Don't put yourself in a sofik sakona in order to save someone from a vadai sakona. So it comes out from this Gemara that what? That one should not put oneself in a sofik sakona to save someone else from a vadai sakona. So in other words, this is what Ben Petura was saying with the Nitziv. Ben Petura was not telling you that commit suicide, nor that you don't see him die. It's a very nice hashkofa, he says. However, Ben Petura was saying the Chiddush that if, he says, that when you have a case of sofik sakona tefoshes, if I risk my own life by giving you the water, say that is I'm mechuyev to do so, merely risking my life, but to save you from a vadai, that is what I'm mechuyev to do. Achibor v'kiva v'darshim, so v'kiva came v'kiva darshim, says chayev v'koyimim. Kiva argues on this point, and therefore it comes out that that's kufa what Rabbi Kiva is trying to tell us, that you're not mechuyev to do that, because Rabbi Kiva holds that even sofik Chayusar, Chayeva, even Sofik Chayus, even Sofik Chayus is Koyvim over. And now that you don't even have to potentially, Kibishit is, you don't even have to potentially risk your life to save another Yid. And that's basically Abavli, therefore, and that's what is, as we point out, that's where Kibish Halach is, and that's where the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, this is where they are coming from. So Kaponim, you see from a number of places in Bavli, that the Shittas of Bavli is that a person should not, well, a person doesn't, certainly not Mechuyev, at least, to put himself into a Sofik Zekon, the same one from a Vadai Zekon. So I just want to show you, Rabbi Isaac, if you take a look what you have here, the Gemara, I don't know if you have it, Makis Yudalos, don't have it, okay. It's a, again, another line or two of Gemara, which is very, very fascinating. And the one that might be familiar with it, the Mishnah tells us himself is Makis Dab Yudalos on the base. Mishnah tells us that a Ritzeach B'Shoigig, someone who kills B'Shoigig, we know, has to go to the Yoram Mikvot. And he's not allowed to leave the Yoram Mikvot until the Kohen Gadol dies. And the Mishnah tells us that someone who is a Hayrik B'Shoigig does not go out of the Yoram Mikvot even if Klal Yisrael needs him. Let's say they need him as a witness. Let's say they need him as a witness. He knows a particular situation. It says, Loi, it says not to go out. Loi Eidus, he says, Mitzvah, even if it's an Eidus Mitzvah, it says, Veloi La Eidus Momoim, Veloi La Eidus Tefashis, even though they need a testimony for capital crime, you need a testimony. He can't leave. He's not allowed to leave the Yoram Mikvot. And then it says even further. The Mishnah says, Vafilu Yisroel Tzrichim Loi, and even if Klal Yisrael needs him, Klal Yisrael needs him, Vafilu Tzatzovo Yisroel Kiyoya Ben Tzeruya. If he's a general, Rabbi Isa, it means that he's needed, his services are needed. He needs to give advice, he needs to lead people into battle. He's needed. The din is, he's a Ritzeach B'Shoigig, you can't leave the Yoram Mikvot. And Rama Pasmas is the Halochet, in the exile of Hilchas Ritzeach. Frege Or Sameach. As Or Sameach, why should he not be Mechui? Let's understand something. What happens when a Ritzeach leaves the Yoram Mikvot? What means? It means that the Goyal Adam is allowed to kill him. Does it mean the Goyal Adam will kill him? No. There's no indication that he will. People don't just go kill people just because you killed the rogue. Not everybody's capable of killing him. And doesn't mean he's going to kill. It means he's putting his life at risk. At best it means, says the Yerushalayim, if it would say it, Bishoy, he leaves Yoram Mikvot. What means? What does it mean? It means he's putting himself in a Sofik Sekhon, that the Goyal Adam might kill him. But on the other hand, he's a general. He's a Tzartzovo like Yoyah Ben Tzeruya, which means that he's needed. He's needed to save Yidin from a Vadai Sekhonet. Yidin Arun HaSekhonet. He's a general. He has military expertise. He's needed. The Mishnah says, no, he doesn't go out. L'chayre, there's a chiyah to put oneself in a Sofik Sekhonet to save others from a Vadai Sekhonet. Tanya Zer Samech, he shouldn't go. Elamai is endangering his life. No, so be it. For him, it's only a Sofik. But for Klal Yisrael, it's a Vadai Sekhonet. Is the chayre, you see, again, from this Mishnah, Tanya Zer Samech, that one is not mechuyah to put himself in a Sofik Sekhonet to save others from a Vadai Sekhonet. I'll just leave you with one nekuda here. Just leave you with one nekuda here. And that is, which you have the well-known Gemara in Brachas Afam and Gimel. The Gemara says in Brachas. Maybe we should. Okay. So this is what we're discussing regarding something like a kidney transplant. And I have to tell you, years ago, being that it was considered to be a Sofik Sekhonet, there were many who said that one should not do it. And certainly one should not do it, but certainly one is not mechuyev to put oneself out in such a situation. Chuvit Ben Chatzitzchok in particular, and many others as well. Today it's not looked upon it that way. It's a big mitzvah. No one says that you're obligated to do it. First of all, to give up an organ, one is not obligated to do it. But it definitely is a big mitzvah for someone to do it, who's ready to give up an organ in order to save another person's life. Again, chiyav there is not. Chiyav there is not. But a mitzvah it is. As a matter of fact, about 500 years ago, the Radbaz was asked a shaila. And the shaila that Radbaz was asked was concerning a person who was condemned and was ready to be executed, a yid. However, for some reason, the shayfet or the judge or the marshal, the ruler said that if another yid, hear this, that if another yid is ready to give up his arm, another yid, unrelated, if another yid is ready to give up his arm, he's going to commute the sentence. He's going to commute the sentence, and the other person's life is going to be saved. So here you have a person who's ready to die. He's going to be executed. He's going to be killed. But the government said, if any yid volunteers, any yid comes up and allows us to amputate his arm, we're going to save that yid. So the advisor of that to Shiloh is a yid mechuyev, whoever it should be, is a yid mechuyev to give up his arm to save the life of another yid. And now, and we're not talking about giving up a neighbor, which is a sakana. A person can live with one arm. A person can live with one arm. So we're not talking about putting oneself into a sakana. There's a person mechuyev to give up his arm in order to save the life of another yid. It's your arm, legato somebody else's life. And Rabbi says, no. You're not mechuyev. You're not mechuyev to make yourself a balmum, to give up a neighbor. He says, even though it means somebody else's life, the Torah didn't ask that from you. The Torah didn't ask that. And interesting, among the different reasons as Rabbaz goes through, one of the reasons, he uses a svara. And a svara that the Rabbaz says, he says because drocheo darchinoi. Interesting. The Gemara uses that, by the way, regarding different halachas, interpret halachas based upon the ways of the Torah are pleasant. More uses Masechta Sukkot, more uses Yevamos. Drocheo darchinoi. It's not mistaber that the Torah would ask a yid to give up an eber in order to save somebody else's life. You don't have to give up a neighbor. So Kaponim, so there's not Yechiyek that one has to do it. But Kaponim, as is pointed out in the Poiskim, in contemporary Poiskim, clearly that would be a mitzvah Gedolah to do it. That is regarding, you're talking about a kidney. However, Rabbi Yisai, if you talk about other types of situations, for example, let's say a liver transplant, the doctors here could verify better than I, but one of the special situations regarding liver transplantation, and that relates because regarding a successful liver transplant, the heart should still be beating. I don't know if that's still the case, but I understand that anybody could substantiate that in order because the liver should be a live liver, and therefore you get to the shiloh. And how do you take away someone's liver from someone still alive? That now gets into the whole controversy regarding brain death. If someone's brain dead and he's hooked up to a respirator, so technically the person is breathing. That is breathing, so the liver, quote-unquote, is still alive, although you might take a position that brain death means the person is technically dead. The person is technically dead, so you take out his liver, and you transplant it. But on the other hand, if brain death is not accepted, which is a big controversy, as we know, between various poskim, as far as Ramosha's position himself has been sort of like different evidence that has been coming in. Originally, the way it was understood from the Tshuvas of Ramosha was the opinion that brain death is not considered to be Misa Alpi Alocha. Then some sort of a letter emerged where that would seem to say that he does hold, it is considered to be Misa Alpi Alocha, but be it may, there is a lot of Kangal Yashin who holds it's not considered Misa Alpi Alocha. Shem Zalman had certain statements about it himself. So if brain death is not Misa Alpi Alocha, so you have to wait until the person actually is dead. So once he's dead and the heart is no longer beating, then you will not have such a successful liver transplantation either. This is when we're talking about live organ donations. When you talk about cornea transplants, and I'll just take a moment, the time is really short here. When we talk about cornea transplant, which means taking from a cadaver, there you get into a whole host of other shallows as well, which is commonly done. Cornea is a membrane. It's a membrane which covers the eye when it's clear, so it brings in light to the lens of the eye. If it's cloudy, then of course, then the eye will not be able to see properly. So what you do is you take the cornea of a mess. The question that the person discusses is quite a number of these surahs, because removing any body parts from a mess, you get into a lot of shilas. Shal number one was called Isra Hanoah of a mess. You know, a mess is also Bahanoah. So the shal is, if I take a body part of a mess, the question is, first of all, am I not being nehenah from the mess? I'm using his body part. So there's a shal of being Isra Hanoah of the mess. Second shiloh, which is called nivel hames, it's called mutilation. Nivel hames, which many poskim show is a deraisa from Gemara Chum Daf Yud Aleph, to be menal means mutilation of a mes, cutting away an aver, cutting away a bodily part from a mes, that gets into the shiloh of nivel hames. And then finally, you get also what's called meniyat kvura. There's a chiyah that every chelik of a mes has to be buried. If it is used to be transplanted into the life of another person, then that body part has not been nikpar. And that's a tremendous shiloh. Now this goes into, branches out into the extent of Isra Hanor of the Mace. Is that a deraisa, Isra Hanor of the Mace? Is that only a din drabonon? Chuvus no debiyuda is that he met his osur bahanor, he says minatoyre. He brings various rights to that. There are machlokes that place from about a goy. Isra Hanor, a goy is much easier because there are many, many places from all this only osur midrabonon. So, Megabe the Shaila, we're talking about Isra Hanor of the Mace. Also, the Shaila would be Nibel Hanes. So, years ago, he shouts, Tshuva Shevet Mi Yehudit. This is from Avunterman, I believe, but many, many Lamaises, some accepted it and some didn't. He came up with a novel approach, and he said the following thing. He said, he wanted to tie it that halachic, from the point of view of halachic, if you take a cornea, he said, and you transplant it to a living person, he tied it that cornea, that aver becomes alive again. Because, in other words, it's like Kriyas HaMeis in a certain sense, because this aver is no longer part of the mace. It became a chuber to a live person, and it functions within the life of a live person. Therefore, we no longer view it as an eiver hanes. It now became a chelik of a living being. If you accept such a svar, then the isra hanor of the mace falls away, because we don't view it again as an eiver of a mace. It now has been attached to a living person, now functions in a living being. You don't have the problem of meniyat kvura, it doesn't need kvura anymore, because now it's considered to be part of a living being, and so on and so forth. Other sanitary words that Sipetra Fran came along and he wanted to say, that even if you have a shayla of Isra Hanor of a mace, that's only Bosar Hamis. But regarding the skin of a mace is a machoitis rishoyim, between places of Babakam and other places, which hold that is not the same. And therefore the membrane, the cornea, is not Bosar, it's considered to be oyer. Also, there's a Mishnah Melech that says, Tokas Mikizayis, he says, does not have the same halacha as a full shear, and the cornea is less than a kizayis, and so on and so forth. So the bottom line that there were difference of opinion regarding the taking the cornea of the mace in terms of being allowed to do it, and therefore if you have the differences of opinion, the poiskim which comes out is, and that is, you have a number of oisrim, you have a number of matirim, and basically you have a lot to either side. The pace of Frank Lamaisa is a matir. Also the Chalyanku Weinberg, you know, the famous poiskim in the Shaltachubis radiation, is also matir to take cornea from mason. And also the Mechabim Sefer Naim Lamishpot, the Vitzuk Arieli, is a big Talmud Chacham, also is matir. Also, Shasachuv Yabi Arimer of Vali Yirsev is also his matter. On the other hand, you have Eisrim to take a cornea from a Jewish body, and that is the Minchas Yitzchot, Kitzelezer is Machmer, Rabozin Sheikh Talevi Taki is Machmer, and so on and so forth. But the Derech Klal was to take from non Jewish corpses the Haskomas of the Echlerim is, that in fact, that it is permitted. So basically, this is just a nutshell, a little bit of an overview about what this is involved in organ donation. So you have living organ donations and you have donations from Bach and Isser. As far as the situation that was mentioned referring to the card carrying on driver's license where you have people, you give permission for organ donation, there are those that are makel, but in the Haredi world it has not been accepted, just carte blanche in order to say I'm donating myself to science or something like that. This is not a Torah Hashkofa, certainly not. A situation where many, by the way, are matir would be if you have three conditions. In other words, and even then there are minority that are machmer. But basically, you have a situation is where the needy recipient is mamish in front of you. It's called where the sakona, the choyla, is leponecha. As you find in Chuvus Noi Debiyuda and the Chsamsoifa, the choyla mamish is here. Not just saving it because, like in a bank, you know, when it will be needed. We're talking about the recipient whose life is in danger is right here. And it's also, not only he's right here, his life is stuck in danger. He's here, the person who needs it is here, and his life is mamish in danger. And also that the donor consented during one's lifetime. In other words, without reshus of the donor, the Oroch L'Nem, the Shalzachuz Bin Yitzin points out, he says, the Kraven cannot be moichel the covet of the person, of somebody else's body. So therefore he says, of all, because the time is like this. You say to yourself, this kuach nefesh, on the one hand, there's somebody whose life is at stake. So maybe all the yisurim regarding a mace, right? Yisra hanoah, the mace, all these things. But you know, kuach nefesh overrides all yisurim. So what are we talking about? Why should we be concerned about any of the other yisurim? We're concerned about being mevatel mitzvahs kvura. We're concerned about, but if it's kuach nefesh is more important than all these things. Says the Oracle Aneri, says, but the fact to mutilate the body of a mess, which is b'zoyin ha-mess, even the kuach nefesh, the mess is potter of all these things. The mess is not mechuyev in the kuach nefesh, he says. The mess is potter. You're taking the mess's body to save somebody else's life. He's not mechuyev in the kuach nefesh. He's not mechuyev. He's potter of a mitzvah. And to take his body, to mutilate his body, which is against Kavod HaMet, to save someone else, he's not mechuyev in that. But if he gives his haskama, he gives his haskama during his lifetime, so if he can send during his lifetime, so he's mevatel with Michael on his Kavod. So then if you have choylo lefonecho, and tachol yishayim b'haskama, then there are situations that one is capable of being matir. So kaponim, as we see, Rabbi Yisai, every area that Rosh Hashem that comes up, that we find the Gedolei Yisrael in each generation have found that have addressed the issues, and this is the gavlus and the siyata d'shamayim, because God has granted each and every generation to be able to apply halacha to each and every area. And Beis Hashem, we should all be zeichet to a lot of siyata d'shamayim. And the main thing is, Rabbi Yisai Yitzhak will come to learn. And I just want to say just one nekuda that was, you know, in Parshas Nosoi. It talks about the inyan taka of a nozir. It talks about a nozir. The nozir is a choyter. The Gemara says that he should tear it out from him in ayayim. The nozir is a choyter who is mitzayim himself from wine. And we find the cases mentioned regarding the nozer that became tomei and so on and so forth. And the Kliyoka points out, he says, the problem why the nozer was nichshul and became tomei and so on and so forth, we say the nozer is achoite, because shitzir tatsamir nayan. Shitzir tatsamir means the ashkofa of the yid raboisai should be that if you're mekabel upon yourself, mitzvah Hashem, you should do it with pleasure. You should not feel that you are sacrificing. The nozer, on the one hand, made a conscious decision to abstain from wine, but shitzir tatsamir nayan. His hashkofa was that he is Mitzayer himself. Why do you look at it that way? Why don't you look at the noble picture, the bigger picture? That you are doing something, that you're Mekadosh yourself, you're sanctifying yourself, you're elevating yourself, you're becoming a greater Eved Hashem. The fact that his hashkofa is Shitzir is Atzim Minayayim. If he feels that committing himself to a higher level version is Tzar, that's why he did not have the Siyata D'Shamayah and he fell. That's why the Nozer became a Chaytah, that's why the Nozer, the Maisa, turned out that he became Tomei. So it's important to mention is, when you say by the Torah, when the Potik says the Torah is Mosek Medvash, Benoites Sufim, Chofetz Chaim says something very, very profound. So the comparison that we find, the Torah is compared to Dvash, so Chofetz Chaim is the Hagdom to Lekut HaLochis. The Rosh brings in Peri Ketet Mabarchim, brings the Rosh B'Shem HaVen Yoyim. The unique quality of Dvash of honey, by which brought down Shulchan Aruch also, the place can bring it down. If an iser falls into dvash, into honey, if it spends a lot of time there, the mezhech hazman, the dvash has the property of changing the properties of anything that falls in to turn it into honey, which means the iser becomes a heter. You hear that? But the Yoni says, if a dover iser falls into dvash, the mezhech hazman, he says, it's nishapach hakol the dvash. It's brought down in Rishonim's fact, also in the Shach and the Taz, in your day of a gather, regulate the virus, when bees, you know, honeybees, it was not uncommon to find legs of bees. You hear that? Legs of bees in the dvash. And you used to eat it. What about shrubs? Terry says, because the bees' legs, it may not be such a good idea when I would look at it. You see it there. Look upon it. See, if you want to eat it, he said, because it's nishabach with dvash. It has a din like dvash. The Chofetz Chaim says, if dvash has a koich to change the properties of a dover iser mamish and to turn it, and to turn it into a dover heter, Torah is mosuk midvash. Whatever property that dvash has, Torah is even stronger. Which means that even a yid who never has a lot of negative midos, a yid whose behavior is not on the level, a yid be'emes who is not doing the right thing, a yid who is not behaving properly, but if he's connected to Torah, Torah is a kind of dvash, it's a mahapach and changes the person. When a person learns Torah, it's not just he has a mitzvah of limud Torah, but Torah is mahapach the person the same way that dvash is mahapach. That is the koyach of Torah. That is a tremendous thing. And therefore, possibly we say in the davening, Baha'arav no Hashem alekeinu, divrei sarosko bifinu. Rabbi, Torah has the koyach to be mahapach a person if he's marriage the mesikas ha-Torah. The same with dvash, everybody who takes dvash sees that it's sweet. Unfortunately, Torah is not always the same. Some people learn, don't feel the mesikas ha-Torah. Torah has the koyach to change the person if and when he's marriage the mesikas ha-Torah. That's why maybe that's the answer. You see, there's quite a number of people that you see people are learning, and somehow the behavior, the hanhogi, when they leave the Beis Medrash, somehow the hanhogi doesn't match the learning. You say, this is the Talmud Chacham, and this is what Torah is more expected of you. Why didn't the Torah accomplish? Why didn't Torah achieve? The Torah says maybe because this person back was learning, but he wasn't zayah to be marked in the Sikhs at Torah. It's like the Nozer should see it. Okay, I have to do it. But he wasn't zayah to be marked the time and the sweetness of Torah. When it's later to be married to the Mesikas HaTorah, then Torah has the Bechin of Devaita that it's Mahapach the person, changes the person. And that's why, who can say better, Rabbi Yisai? With the Gemara calls in Doram Daf Peyalas, the Gemara tells us And the Gemara says, what's the reason? Why were we zoiche? Unfortunately, why were we not zoiche with the continuation of the Beit HaMikdash? Of course, this Mikdash was chorev, of Azeh, Shu'al, Chachomim, and the Nevi'im. The Gemara tells us, the Lord for Shu, no one knew the answer. Why? What brought the Purim Beit HaMikdash? The Gemara says, at the end, also, the Baruch of the Torah, Tchilut. Because it didn't say Birchat HaTorah, all the Rishayim, the Ran of Beit HaMikdash. What does it mean? So it didn't say Birchat HaTorah. No, so it didn't say Birchat HaTorah. That's what comes from Beit HaMikdash, comes because of that. Agavut, the Shagasari can derive from that, the Birchat HaTorah is a derisive. From Chodesh, the Rambam, the Ramban. The Birchat HaTorah won't be a Drabonon. It's such a great chapter. He didn't say Birchat HaTorah, so for that, come from Beit HaMikdash, the Shagasari means the right, Birchat HaTorah is a derisive. But even the derisive. So for that, Adair, so that got Chodesh, Beit HaMikdash. Teres is Amish. Chodesh, Beit HaMikdash came, Chazal, tell us why. By Swishin, because the word is Shol, the Egil, Arai, somebody is Oshvin, Adonis. By Shani, was in his Chinam. But the question is, but they were learning Torah. Al Mo'ab Da'aret. The Gemara doesn't say they weren't learning. The Gemara didn't say Birchat HaTorah. But they were learning Torah. And after they were learning Torah, Abay Sai, how is it possible that you didn't learn Torah? Al Oivan, Tach Cholosh Averes Chamurois. That was the Kash Al Mo'ab Da'aret. They didn't understand. Torah is supposed to change you. The answer was, Le Baruch HaBatayah Tchila, says with Tzadik HaKoyish, Le Baruch HaBatayah. They didn't say, Ba'arav Mo'ab. That's the Chelik they didn't say. They didn't concentrate on that. They didn't understand what Mesikas HaTorah is supposed to mean. They didn't have the schus to be margish the noyam the time of Torah. Therefore, Torah wasn't able to accomplish its fullest. It's like when a person eats. If you eat without cheshek, the food's not going to do for you. If a person wants to take the maximum of the food, to give him all the nourishment, give him all the koyach, then he possesses cheshek, he has an appetite. Then he's able to take the maximum of the koyach, the Torah also. If the Torah is ingested without cheshek, then you're not able to accomplish, to achieve that which Torah is able and ready, willing to give you. And maybe, and this is by a long shot, but it's not. I don't believe it is. Maybe there's many answers. No one knows the answer. We're living in a time where we see never people have problems with children, calling children at risk, on the verge, on the brink. What all these rishonim mean? Maybe. I believe at least certainly this is definitely one of the components. Children don't enjoy learning. They don't enjoy it. The yeshiva experience for them. It's a burden. It's an all. For some reason. There was no hafloch, at least for that child, some are. But for that child, you didn't find the way that the Torah should really go in. He should accept it the way that he should see the sweetness of Torah, the ahavas of Torah, the cheshek of Torah. If the child be marigish, that which Torah is capable of giving, then avada navada, it would be matliach, and we have tremendous apodishmaya. So our bracha is here, that we should be zoyche back to the key, and realize this bracha every day we have to say, so how important it is. Chazal, not once a month, not once a year. Every day, Baha'arav, no Hashem, Lekena, Dibas, Rosh, for Bethino. No one says something. What do you mean, Bethino? The Torah should be sweet in our mouth. Why have the word in our mouth? Where else? What do you mean? What do you mean, Torah should be sweet in our mouth? What's the emphasis on the word Bethino? Rabbeinu, do you ever went to visit a choyl in the hospital? And you see that this choyl, you know, he has no appetite, he can't eat. You see that they bring him in the food, they bring him the meal, whether it's a breakfast or lunch. The choyl tastes it, and he says, can't eat it. So he blends the food. He says, it wasn't prepared properly. So he tells his wife, he says, bring me the food. You know my favorite food. So the wife comes next morning, she brings him his favorite food. He eats it and says, what'd you do different? He says, no, it's the same food. Finally, they tell him, he says, the problem is not with the food. The problem is with you. You're not able to be marriage. Rabbi says, the problem is not with the Torah. The Torah is sweet. The problem is our mouth. Unfortunately, our mouths are not in tune to be margish. Our mouths are not healthy spiritually. They're not spiritually healthy to be able to have the appetite. So our bracha is that we ourselves should be zeiche, that our mouths should be able to be the base kibble, to be able to absorb and have the schus to be margish, the sweetness and the noyam and the ne'imis of Torah. The Mashiach Malchus shall be zeiche to all the brachas amuz b'Torah rechiyom and b'yimino b'smoyla oishe b'kovet and b'simcha v'nachas abiyaz b'yotzedek merimenu amen.
Stop. I was just wondering, according to the posting that do mock the corneal transplants, is that only in a place that I need to show where the recipient would be Jewish or even the Kufa? Is Rav Unterman, do they permit it, were they permitted even in the Kufa?
The Shazwa can donate it to a